Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
I don't know how many of us get an opportunity through the week to meet these kinds of, to meet some people. People like the car mechanic, the rickshaw puller, the auto rickshaw driver. If any of this resound with you, you can wave your hands. Cab driver, the chaiwala, the shopkeeper, the hairstylist, and every other profession. All of these I just meant, and every other profession, they all wear a specific t-shirt all over India. They have the same message on their t-shirt. And they walk around as if they believe the message. What is it? The message is, comes up on the screen. Apna time aayega. Can you tell that to your neighbor? My time will come. That's what it means. The song from the Bollywood movie Gully Boy in 2019 resonated with the majority of 1.4 billion people in India, especially a hoping generation, desperately holding on to this insatiable hope that one day my time will come. One day I will make it big. I will be famous. I will be unstoppable. I'll be everything I dreamed of becoming. But as I heard this song, this tagline, I have been battling with this intriguing concern. My concern is this. What if my time never comes? What if my goal in life is not supposed to making it big? What if my time comes not in the pattern I expected it? Strange questions for many of us in India, right? Because our education system and our parenting patterns all seeks to put pressure on performance. Study hard, beta, so that one day your time will come. And with a subconscious whisper, son, when your time comes, my time will also come. But what does it mean when someone says, my time will come? How will you know when your time has come? Is it when you get a passport and visa and land in the United States of America? Is it getting a salary that you always dreamt of? Is it when your name gets printed in the newspaper or your social media pages has more than 1 million followers? Is it when you get married to the girl of your dreams? Is it when you have enough power and influence to rule your world? Is it when you have a title or degree before your name or after your name, wherever you want to put it? Unfortunately, if this is what it looks like, when your time does come and you get what you wanted, there is often an unfortunate anticlimax. Many people I personally know or I've heard of have been extremely disappointed or broken at the pinnacle of their dream. Or the day after the dream is fulfilled, they suddenly become dreamless. Ask Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian in history with 28 medals, have been honest about the journey of what happens when your time does come. Michael Phelps makes this honest confession. You work as hard as you can and put in every ounce of energy you possibly have into trying to represent your country and potentially win a gold medal. And then the next day, you are done. That's it. So you are lost. The desperation of making it big or the overemphasis on dreaming of that day can cause us to build dangerous, unnecessary castles in the air. Castles that distract us from fulfilling our calling today. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Ecclesiastes, which elaborates the pursuit of a man who had experienced the range of the pinnacle of success and making it big in life. After getting it all, he admits it was all meaningless. One of my biggest concerns for every person, especially if you're below 35 years old. If you're below 35, can you just wave your hand? Okay, just wave. Okay. Is this one question? And that's the title of our message today. Apna time kab aayega? When will my time come? Now, those who are above 35 years, you have a similar concern. Same question. Apna time kab aayega? Or has my time come and gone and I did not realize it? The question never changes. You're always wondering, apna time kab aayega? When will my time come? The same person who said it is all meaningless made a powerful statement, which is the secret to the answer to this question this morning. When will my time come? Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and it's put up on this, you'll see it on the screen here. It's there on the, we have a board here which has the same words. I want us to stand together as we read this verse together. Okay, we'll be looking at this verse a lot today. So by the end of this message, I'm hoping you'll memorize it. So first, this is what I want you to do. We'll read this verse as loud as possible. Second time, I want you to read it to the person next to you. Okay, we ready for this? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Okay, well done. Good job. Give a big hand to yourself. Second, now read the same verse to the person standing next to you. Here we go. Wow, you are brilliant. You are getting 200% today. Big hand to yourself. Now, how will you get 300%? This week, if you memorize it, I will give you 300%. You may be seated. These two verses summarize King Solomon's life and legacy. If these two verses can be summed up in just one word, it is simply this: trust. When will your future and career reach its climax, experience a significance? When can I truly say my time has come? You know the answer to this question? It actually doesn't matter. Trust is the foundation of your future and career. Now the big question is, trust who? And that's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. Trust in the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, and I wanted to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. It gives us an overview of King Solomon's life. Verse 5 onwards, the Bible reads like this. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne." Verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" God's word to Solomon: "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Many of us have often wondered, I don't know whether you have thought about it, but growing up, I've often wondered, I wish God had spoken these words to me, right? How many of us wish you had a dream? And actually, you know what I realized? We don't need to wonder. Because God had already spoken these words to us through Jesus Christ. John chapter 15 verse 7, let's read it together. This is what Jesus is telling you right now. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Hallelujah. God gave this blank check to Solomon, and Solomon trusted in the Lord to give a response which has been celebrated through the ages. He asked for wisdom instead of for riches or anything else. The key this morning is this. I want you to listen to this. Trusting in the Lord means having confidence that He will do what He says He will do. Amen. Has God given you a promise for your life? A word for your future and career? You don't walk through life wondering and worrying, when will my time come? You walk in confidence. God will do for me what He has promised He will do. Amen. Solomon's response here is desperate. You can see the desperation in his words. He says, I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Solomon's passion was genuine. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well, know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? When will your time truly come? I want you to listen to this. When you recognize your life and future are meaningless and helpless without God. That's the foundation. That's the secret. Reminded of this very familiar story of a holy monk. One day, a young man came to visit this monk. The young man asked, oh, holy man, I want to know how to find God. The monk was muscular and strong. He said, do you really want to find God? The young man answered, yes, I do. So the monk took the young man down to the river. Suddenly, the strong monk grabbed the young man by the neck and held his head underwater. When after 2 minutes the monk didn't let go, the young man began struggling. Still, the holy man wouldn't release him. Second by second, the young man fought harder and harder. After about 6 minutes, the monk pulled the young man out of the water. And this young man cried out, I want air. That's when this monk said his powerful words. I want you to listen to this. When you desire God as much as you desire air, you will find God. Amen. That is the secret of trusting in the Lord. You recognize that you are helpless and hopeless without God. Like the songwriter says, this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I am desperate for you. I am lost without you. My dear friends, when will your time come? Firstly, when you trust in the Lord. Secondly, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you tell your neighbor, with all your heart? How do we trust in the Lord with all our hearts? I don't know if you ever had these moments. You are a student and you hear your professor saying in class. Your professor says, never be late for class ever. Have you ever heard your professor say that? But the curious part for the student is, this professor himself walks in 10 minutes for class daily. Something is wrong somewhere. Or your boss states, take care of your body, especially avoid smoking. Smoking is injurious to health. But once a day, he goes for a puff. And you're confused. When King Solomon declared, trust in the Lord with all your heart, you would expect Solomon to practice with all of your heart. But turn your Bible with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. I want you to read these three verses very carefully. This is what the Bible tells us. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around the city. At that time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. Just three verses shows very clearly Solomon did not trust God with all of his heart. Solomon's TED talk was great, but his life off stage was not very great. If you dig deep into these three introductory verses, this is just the start of Solomon's life. This, what, 7-8 chapters. It shows something is wrong. I like how a commentator puts it. This is what a commentator said. Overall, a negative note runs through this introductory summary of his reign. I want you to look carefully at these verses. Verse 1, just the first phrase, it says, he gets married to Pharaoh's daughter. In the context of international politics, and politics, they say, make strange bedfellows, this seems like a very clever move from Solomon, as it has locked the friendship of a very powerful neighbor. But the problem is this, the Hebrew phrase used for this course of action literally is translated as, I want you to listen to this, he, that is Solomon, made himself son-in-law. The wording hints at submission to his Egyptian neighbor and even appears against God's command of Israelite men marrying non-Israelite women. Solomon trusts in the Lord, but not with all of his heart. I want you to look at still at verse 1. Then the Bible says, Solomon then decides to, what does it say? Let's read it together. Bring his wife into the city of David. What's happening here? Solomon gives open access to Egypt. Everyone say Egypt. He gives open access to Egypt into the heart of Israel's kingdom. Egypt in the Bible is a word for the people of Israel to depict bondage and slavery. That was their past. When Solomon invites Pharaoh and his daughter into the city of David, what was he doing? He was giving entry to other forms of slavery. Solomon, what's your problem? Trust in the Lord, but not with all of his heart. Verse 1, still on verse 1, there's something interesting here. I want you to read it together. He brought her, let's read it together, to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around the city. If you look at this verse carefully, there are three building projects mentioned here. Building project number one, Solomon is building his own palace. Building project number two, Solomon is building the temple of the Lord. Number three, Solomon is building the wall around the city. Commentators find this order in which these tasks are listed as very unusual. Look at this order again. He building his own palace is put before building the temple of the Lord. Is this a statement on Solomon's priorities? Where are your priorities, Solomon? And actually, we see where is Solomon's priorities when you look at chapter 6 and chapter 7. Chapter 6, the last verse. I want us to read it together. 6 verse 38, it says, so it took 7 years to build the temple. Last verse of chapter 6. First verse of chapter 7, the Bible says, Solomon also built a palace for himself and it took him 13 years to complete the construction. Wow. How many years for the temple of God? 7. How many years for his own house? Excellent. Twice as much time he spent on building his own house. It's actually like saying Jacob loved the Lord and he spent 30 hours in the whole year serving Jesus. Jacob also spent 400 hours building his own dreams. See the difference? Where is your priority, Solomon? Trust in the Lord, but not with all of his heart. Verse 3. This is probably the most painful. The Bible says Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burnt incense at local places of worship. Without going into the details of what this verse means, Solomon compromised his worship and opened doors for religious practices which dishonored the living God. Solomon compromises worship and opened doors for a lifestyle of idolatry. Trust in the Lord, but not with all of his heart. Reminded of the story of a girl who turns to a boy and declares, "I love you from the bottom of my heart." The boy is obviously thrilled and almost has tears. But the girl continues, "I love you only from the bottom of my heart. Rest of my heart belongs to all those who want it." That was Solomon's problem. He trusted in the Lord, but not with all of his heart. When will my time come? Apna time kab aayega? When you trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Thirdly, trust in the Lord. Firstly, trust in the Lord. Secondly, with all of your heart. Thirdly, and let's read together. Lean not into your own understanding. I don't know if you ever had these conversations with your children, especially parents, or if your parents had these conversations with you, children. The words goes like this: "Beta, I'm going out for a few hours. Make sure you use this time wisely. Study, read, focus." Obedient son responds, "Of course, mama." Just in case the son did not understand, the parent repeats the instruction but in different ways. "Beta, that means no switching on the data on your phone." "Of course, mama, that's obvious." In case he did not just still understand it, "Beta, that means no Instagram or YouTube for the next few hours." And the son responds, "What, mama, how can that be?" Solomon gave this instruction: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That should be enough. That's the bottom line. You don't need to add anything more. But just in case we did not understand what he said, he makes an additional remark. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then he says, lean not on your own understanding. In the 21st century, and especially as we are almost through with the quarter of this century, we have so much knowledge, content at our fingertips. We have all become knowledge experts because what our parents and grandparents search for hours in libraries and Britannica encyclopedia. I mean, someone who had a Britannica encyclopedia was someone very precious. These days, it's available on Wikipedia, every search engine, ChatGPT, but with no guarantee of actuality. But this knowledge overload has made us, you know what? Made us self-proclaimed specialist, almost on every topic. And we have given ourselves a glorified title. You know the glorified title? Social media influencer. But the 21st century, in spite of all our knowledge and education, we all struggle with what I would simply put as unhealthy thinking styles. We all practice these styles every day. Psychologists describe these styles in different words. One is called mental filter. Focusing on only one negative aspect of a situation while overlooking the positive. It's to say, "Sorry to say, ma'am, I don't think this project will work because it might rain today." Second is emotional reasoning. Assessing situations through the lens of your current emotion. "I'm absolutely upset about going out for dinner with all of you because I'm angry." Third is all or nothing. Absolute thinking where one focuses on an extreme and ignores the other. Other is personalization. Blaming yourself unnecessarily for external negative events. It's like saying, "It's all my fault. Nothing useful can come out of my life." Or labeling. Using sweeping negative statements to describe yourself or others. It's like saying, "Nothing good will come out from the students of this school or this college or this city. I need to go somewhere else if I need to be successful. Or over generalizing, interpreting a single negative event as the norm. When nothing works out, you know who we blame? It's all the fault of the pandemic. I would have been someone great if the pandemic did not happen. When the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, these are few of the unhealthy thinking patterns which we are constantly meditating on. And God knows that sometimes our own understanding or thinking patterns is limited to our brain. So that's why He commands us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on your own understanding. Reminded of the story of a group of botanists who noticed through their binoculars a flower of rare beauty lying deep in a ravine over the cliff. As they were looking through the binoculars, there was a curious young boy who was watching nearby. And the scientists told this little boy, they said that we will pay you well if you agree to be lowered over the cliff to get the flower. The boy took one long look for a long time and he said, I'll be back in a minute. Short time later, he's followed by a gray-haired man approaching the botanist. The man said, I will go over that cliff and get that flower for you only on one condition. If this man holds the rope. So the botanist wanted to know, who is this man? He is my dad. If he is holding the rope, then I will go down. This morning our prayer should be, I will only take the next step if the Heavenly Father is holding the ropes of my life. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Doesn't stop there. Let's read together. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. If Proverbs 3:5 was not sufficient and self-explanatory, Solomon repeats again. I like how the Message translation puts this verse. I want you to read it together. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Amen. Going back to Solomon's life in 1 Kings 11, we are again reminded of this old statement. I don't know how many of us heard the statement, practice what you preach or change your speech. That's what's happening to King Solomon. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 6. I want you to listen to it very carefully as our musicians come. Listen to it carefully. King Solomon loved many foreign women. Message translation says he was obsessed with women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel. You must read this very carefully. You must not marry them because they'll turn your hearts to their gods. Yet, Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, verse 4, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been. Solomon worshipped Asherah, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. It doesn't stop there. Look at verse 9 and 10. This is the same guy who said, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I want us to look at verse 9 and 10. The Bible says God was furious with Solomon for abandoning the God of Israel. The God who had twice appeared to him and had so clearly commanded him not to fool around with other gods. Solomon faithlessly disobeyed God's orders. Solomon, has your time come? Apna time kab aayega? Solomon had everything. He had the 5 P's of success. What are the 5 P's of success? Power, position, pleasure, prestige, possessions. But he forgot his own words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. I want you to listen to this carefully. God can only direct our destiny when we trust him. God can only lead us to our destination when we trust him with all of our hearts. As I close, Jesus lived on planet Earth for 33 short years. From the time he was born, he knew my time will come. In fact, on several occasions, he kept repeating, my time has not yet come. But he knew it quite differently. In fact, in his final week on planet Earth, he knew my time has come to leave this earth and go back to my Father. The time Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew any selfish fascination for his life on earth, he had to give up. And he wanted to be captivated with God's design for his life. And that's why he prayed, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. When Jesus was on the cross, he knew his time had finally come. He recognized, on the cross, he recognized, in my death, I will give life, new life to the whole world. And my dear friends, this morning, that is the call to all of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's this reminder of a story of a young man who was very eager to grow in his faith journey. And he wanted to become really someone great for God. He got a piece of paper. He took a piece of paper and made a list of all the things he would do for God. He wrote down the things he would give up, places he would go and minister, and the areas of ministry he would enter. He was so excited. He took the list to the altar and put it at the altar. He thought he would feel joy, but instead he felt empty. So he went back home. He said, one paper is not enough. Maybe God needs more papers. So he started writing of more things he will give up, more things he will do, all the places he will do and go for God. He took one more sheet. He went to the altar, left it at the altar. Once again, he still felt empty. He went to a wise old pastor and told him the situation, asked him to help. And the pastor said, you know what, young man, I want you to take a blank sheet of paper. Don't write anything on that blank sheet of paper. Just at the bottom of the page, you sign your name. And then go and leave it at the altar. You'll be happy. That's what the young man did. No commands, no desires, blank sheet of paper. Signed at the bottom, left it at the altar. He went away happy, joyful, a man filled with peace. In 1994, as a 16-year-old teenager, I attended my first youth camp of the AG Church. I was excited for the opportunity. I took part in everything that was done at that camp, football, cricket, all that, everything. But my favorite moments was the daily worship services, the special messages, the altar calls. In 1994, at one of those altar calls, the preacher for the camp invited every young man to take a blank sheet of paper. Trust God with your career and your future. Come to the altar with a blank sheet of paper. Sign your name at the bottom of the paper and let God write a story for your life. My dear friends, October 1994 at the altar, that's what I exactly did. I took a blank sheet of paper, signed my name. I didn't know what all that meant. That's what the pastor said to do. I did it. signed my name at the bottom of that page. I said, Lord, I have no clue what you want to do with my life, where you'll take me, what you want me to do, but here I am. You write your story. Dear friends, I'm here to testify to you 30 years later, 2024. I can boldly testify, God has been amazing as he wrote a story in my life I could never have imagined. He gave me 5 P's too, but 5 different P's. God's presence, God's power, God's provision, God's peace, God's people. Amen. When you write your name and say, Lord, you write your story. When will my time come? It doesn't matter. All that it matters, let's read that verse together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @AGC Kolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.